The tradition of this night is to read Luke's account of the Christmas story, which Tina so nicely read a few minutes ago. Luke is the Christmas pageant text that allows all the little children to act out the story for mom and dad. But tonight I want to preach upon Matthew's account. It represents Joseph's viewpoint of Christmas. It's a more uncomfortable account of the event of Christmas. So from Matthew, the first chapter, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There was a married woman who decided to go on her own private vacation to Europe. She went from the Midwest to London, and then she was planning to go to Paris and to Rome and to Vienna. And when she got to London, she called her husband back home in the Midwest and said, "How are you doing?" Her husband said, "I'm doing fine, but our cat Lucy died." So his wife started bawling her eyes out on the phone. But when she regained her composure, she said, "You insensitive brute of a man. Why did I ever marry someone like you? You just have no concern about my feelings." The husband said, "Well, what was I supposed to have said?" The wife thought for a moment and said, "Well, when I got to London and I called you, as I just did, you could have said, 'Lucy, our cat is on the roof.' And when I got to Paris, you could have said, 'Lucy fell down from the roof.' And when I got to Rome, you could have said, 'Lucy's not doing so well.' And when I got to Vienna, you could have said, 'Lucy died.' That would have made it easier on me." Then the wife said, "By the way, how's mother?" The husband hesitated and said, "She's on the roof." Some messages are just hard to receive and they are hard to deliver. They're too blunt to deal with, so we need to soften them up a bit. Christmas is like that. It's a blunt and offensive story for much of the world to hear. It has been and always will be that way. And please don't look at me as if I'm Ebenezer Scrooge trying to mess up your Christmas spirit, because in spite of making that statement, I am 100% gung-ho for Christmas. Most people, especially those who only attend service on Christmas Eve and Easter, expect to come and find beautiful music and decorations, poinsettias, candles, refreshments, and have a warm, fuzzy holiday feeling with family sitting next to them. And I like it too, I always have. But much of what we do tonight is what we have done to Christmas to spiff it up and make it easier to deal with. Christmas can sometimes be more like the husband in the way he delivered his message. It can be blunt. Part of me has reached this conclusion by looking around in our culture. We've taken the original event and meaning of Christmas and allowed it to morph into something that is totally unrecognizable from what it really is. The culture has made this a holiday where everyone can be happy. What we have done is domesticate and romanticize Christmas in such a way that it is now designed to entertain and not offend. It's almost like we said, "Here, God, let's fix this up a bit and make it a more palatable message and experience for everyone." So over the years, we have added and added and added to Christmas because the bare bones Christmas message of the gospel is offensive to the world. If you don't think it is, then listen to this list of instructions that was sent to teachers at a local school this year. It read as follows. Please remember that we live in a multicultural community, and it's not acceptable to continue to act and speak as if everyone celebrates Christmas as the birth of Christ. The use of the word Christmas and references to nativity or the birth of Christ is offensive to some members of our diverse community. Please remember to use neutral language in any of your decor, announcements, bulletin boards, and invitations. Use neutral language like winter holiday, winter programs. And thank you for your cooperation in this matter. Christmas is offensive. As I drove 6 children home from school this week, I asked them if they were going to church on Christmas Eve. Not one of them said yes. In fact, one of the little girls asked me, "What is church?" And yet they were all so excited to celebrate Christmas. How can that be? We've redefined it, that's all. So in making Christmas palatable for everyone, we have made it beneficial to no one except the economy. But the fact is, we need the original blunt message of Christmas like we have never needed it before in our day and time. So let's strip away everything we can from our modern day Christmas celebration and see what we have left. First of all, let's start with December 25th. Do we need to have December 25th? For there to be Christmas? No. As much as we would all like it to be the case, sweet baby Jesus was not born on December 25th. It's written in the Bible that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem to register in a Roman census. However, such censuses were not taken in the winter, when temperatures often dropped below freezing and roads were in poor conditions. It wasn't until Constantine converted to Christianity in the 4th century that the 25th of December became a fixed date. He had quite a challenge ahead of him with regards to converting an empire full of pagans. It was therefore decided to celebrate the birth of Jesus on a date that was already sacred according to the pagan traditions. So as a compromise with paganism and in an attempt to give the pagan holidays Christian significance, it was simply decided that the birth of the sun god Saturn and the celebration of what was called Saturnalia would also be the birthday of the Son of God. So there you have it. Boom. December 25th is not the actual birthday of Jesus. Sorry if I shocked your world. And if the 25th isn't needed, then neither are the 12 days of Christmas that follow. Last year, the PNC Price Index, which is published by the Provident National Bank of Philadelphia, each year for the purpose of pricing out the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas, they priced out last year to be $39,993.59. That's what it would cost you if you wanted to buy all the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas. But in 2020, the index indicated that you can save 58.5%. It's only $16,168.14 this year, because due to COVID-19 restrictions, the 9 ladies dancing, the 10 lords a-leaping, the 11 pipers piping, and the 12 drummers drumming are unavailable for public concerts. Can save a lot. If you're ever going to do it, this is the year. But not to worry. We don't need them. Bye-bye. It's a crazy song anyway, right, Sandy?
Right.
Well, how about all the lights and decorations we put up in our homes? I love lights. I love trees. But can we strip them away and still have Christmas? How about cookies? Can we do away with cookies and still have Christmas? Rebecca, do I need cookies?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy that John Pumphrey brought his signature cut-out cookies for us this evening to enjoy. But we can still have Christmas without them, can't we? Hold on, Pastor Bill. You're not going to tell me you can have Christmas without a spiral-sliced honey-baked ham, are you? Yes. Yes, I am. Well, how about the music, the Christmas hymns and carols, Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, White Christmas? Can we have Christmas without snow and chestnuts roasting on the open fire? And how about the big guy in the red suit and all of the presents he puts under the tree? Can we have Christmas without him? Without presents? Yes. Wow, so far we've stripped away quite a bit, haven't we? And we still have a long way to go. There are Christmas cards, Christmas parties, Christmas breaks from school, movie premieres, bowl games. Look what we've done to make Christmas less offensive to the world. Look at all the fanfare we've added. Can we have Christmas without the Nutcracker and a Christmas Carol, the Grinch, most importantly, Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun? Yes, we must strip it away. And we keep going and we keep stripping until we get down to the bare bones of Christmas, which is a dirt poor Jewish couple who was shunned by an innkeeper in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And believe me, if they were special people, the innkeeper would have made room for them. So the bare bones of Christmas are nothing more than a poor couple, a young pregnant mother giving birth to a child named Jesus and laying him in a manger. That's it. That's what Christmas is. Sometimes it's just the simple ordinariness of the story that insults us. This is how God comes to us? In a stable? You know, Israel wanted extraordinary for their Messiah. They wanted a conqueror of Rome, a great warrior king like David. And we want extraordinary too. We want a Disney Christmas. Bring out the Osborne light display. But God gives us ordinary. A baby in a stable, surrounded by a poor mother and father, and lowly shepherds, the lowest of the low on a social scale. Shepherds were so low, their testimony was not even allowed in a court of law. That night was nothing but a gathering of dusty, dirty, poor people on that first Christmas night. How offensive that this is how God would come to us. You know, Naaman, the leper, is a great army leader from Aram in the Old Testament, and he felt the same way when he was told by Elisha's servant to go dip in the muddy creek called the Jordan River for his healing. And he was insulted by that. Can't I have something more spectacular? At least a better river to dip in than the Jordan? And that's how we feel. What? That's how our Savior comes to us? His servants had to talk to him. Look, man, you're crazy for passing this up. Go do what he says. That's Christmas. It offends. The first person it offended was Joseph. We just read that the news devastated him, and he was going to quietly divorce Mary, call the wedding off. All the excitement and the joy of his marriage night he was looking forward to was now ruined. The love of his life gone. It took an angel to get him beyond his offense and back on track, because he wouldn't have believed Mary if she had tried to explain to him. After all, how would she explain a virgin birth to Joseph? Sure, Mary, I believe you. The Christmas story even offends many today because of that same reason. Virgin birth? Sure. You expect me to believe such a thing? That offends my intelligence. How gullible do you think I am? After Joseph, Christmas offended Herod. The wise men were not very wise when they asked Herod for directions to worship he who was to be born king of the Jews. Herod became greatly offended, threatened and jealous by the news, and all the male babies in the area of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, paid for it with their life. And as time would go on, more and more people would be offended by this baby born in Bethlehem. So many, in fact, including the religious scholars and the leaders, the ones who were supposed to know all about God. But he offended them as well, and so many were offended that he would eventually end up on a cross. The Bible says in John 1, verse 11, about Jesus, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Christmas was and is offensive. Do you want the blunt message of Christmas for your life tonight? I'll tell you right now what it is, without sugarcoating it. The Christmas message is this: you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Who, me? Yes, you. How's that for Christmas cheer? That wouldn't work on a Christmas card, would it? The name Jesus means Savior. Yeshua, Yahweh saves. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came into this world to save us, to save all who would call upon his name. But the offensive part is that he is the one and only Savior this world has ever been given. Christmas says there's only one way to be saved. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. He's the only Son who came from God the Father. He is the only one who can grant eternal life to those who call upon him. You can call to other people for eternal life, but it's not going to work out so well. Jesus is the only one who can grant that. And that incredible life-saving news offends well over two-thirds of the world's population for many different reasons. Individual choice is our Western culture's main value. It equals our sense of freedom. We are people of free choice. And to say that Christmas is just Jesus, our one and only Savior, is offensive to us. To take away our choice of what to believe when it comes to salvation is offensive. At least with the COVID-19 vaccine, we have choices on how to be saved. Do I want Pfizer or Moderna's vaccine? Or should I wait for others to come? But when it comes to conquering death, the name of Jesus is the name that saves. We cannot get to the comfort and joy that Christmas brings until we first get over the offense that it brings us. It's my hope and prayer that you have arrived at that point in your life tonight, to that place of comfort and joy. Jesus is your only hope for making it out of this world alive. And that doesn't have to scare you or threaten you. It can be the source of the greatest strength and joy you will ever know. He can give you peace that the world cannot give you. So go ahead. Let the Christmas message offend you. And then get over it. And let it bring you comfort and joy. For unto you was born in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. Amen.